I was in Australia, and Tex asked me if I wanted to play with him and Spencer P. Jones, who is a really great guitar player and person. He was one of the gun clubs, the Australian gun clubbers, honorary gun clubber. He's the one who introduced me to Tex in the first place when Tex was but a little teenager. I knew immediately when I met Tex when he was really young. I was like, oh, this guy is going to be so big. And he did. He became a big, huge rock star. But a really good one. So when Tex and Spencer asked me to do something, I would have jumped at the chance. So I jumped at the chance. I was on tour with Nick in Australia. We went one day in the studio. And I remember we were very excited because the Saints were rehearsing down the in the next studio next to us. Chris Bailey was. But then we went and recorded this, it was fast, quick, and was really fun and great. And I finally got to realize my desire to do a record with Tex Perkins. Barry Adamson, very good friend I'd known through years from my living in London or before. I actually had met him when he was in Magazine and came to Los Angeles. And some friends of mine had thrown a party they came to, and I met Barry then. Barry actually played on a little string of shows when Rami couldn't make it with the Gun Club. And that was fun. But that was just, a few shows like that he played with us. So Barry, was a good friend, and he was embarking on his solo career, and he was making a record. And like all of us, we always ask our friends to do stuff. It was kind of a thing, you go hang around other people's recording sessions, and we are all hanging around. And I would think it was me and Katie and Mick and Anita or something. He asked if we wanted to do some backing vocals, so of course we did. And that turned out to be really great. Mark Eitzel was a friend of mine. I knew him from American Music Club. We had met, we weren't really friends. We had met before from when I was in the Gun Club and when I was living in London, and we had the same booking agent. Mark had a lot more success in England and Europe than, in that typical way than in America. I really, really liked his way, and I really thought he was, a great singer, and everyone else said he's a great songwriter, and I really recognized him as such. And he was a really funny guy, and we befriended each other and got really, really drunk together, really a lot of times. So he had come to live in New York for a while. I think he was floating around as he does, and he was subletting an apartment in New York and had come here, and so we became really good friends and hung out constantly together and got into lots of trouble together and even had a brief fling together. That, of course, led to like-mindedness and musically like-mindedness. He asked me to play on one of his records, and kind of as a return the favor, he came and sang on that Abnormals Anonymous record. And so he became like a really big part of my life at that time and was a big influence on me, actually. Jack Martin always says, like, that was a great songwriting period because you were being competitive with Mark all the time. And I agree, when I'm very much influenced by who I'm around, and he was a really good, big influence on me and a really good influence on me in songwriting and a really bad influence in me in life. In drinking. I'm still friends with him. I recently played on some stuff of his, and we're in contact, and I'm really always amazed at his live shows. He's another one of those singers I'm drawn to because he really puts himself out there and is this emotionally raw. It really reminds me in a lot of ways of just different people. He reminds me a lot of Jeffrey Lee Pierce a lot in that way. And he reminds me of Nick in some ways. And he's just a great songwriter, and his live shows can be harrowing, like where you don't know if you're gonna be laughing, or you know, I've seen people weeping. I've like, you know, he is really a strong person. One of my biggest people I admire as an artist. And also I like Mark a lot because he uses a lot of ocean imagery, one of my favorites. You know, he's very obsessed with the ocean and ships. It's like Jeffrey and like anyone great. Everyone knows the ocean is where it's at. When Congo Norvell first moved to New York, these kids actually had written to me before I even moved. I was still living in Los Angeles, and I got this letter and a little press kit and an EP from this band called Factory Press, who are from Austin, Texas, and they told me that they were had just moved to New York or were going to move to New York, and they just wrote to me out of the blue and asked me if I would produce their record. And I was like, oh, yeah, but I'm in Los Angeles, whatever, you know, maybe. And I, you know, liked it. It was kind of a Joy Division-y, you know, but I saw something in it. I knew I was going to come to New York, so on their little press paper was their phone number, so I called them. And I thought, like, you know, well, I'm coming to New York, and I could do this if you want to do it. And, you know, I'd be, you know, happy to produce a record by you. And and they said they thought someone was doing a crank call on them. So I was like, oh, that's this kid Congo. And I'm coming and I'm going to produce your record. And, you know, so we met. Then they played me some of their new stuff. And it was really, I thought it was really great. I saw like a lot of so much potential in them. And that record is really good. And it was really fun to produce a record. I'd done some production, and of my own stuff and a few other things like that Shepherd Pratt record, and which were a young band, another call out of the blue. And so that was like some kind of an interest to me to do that. And with them, though, I felt really good about it because I felt like I was talking to someone of my own tribe, sort of, or mindset about sound, and they were very open to experimenting, and they were experimental band, really, for a rock band. And I really love that they would really be able to take their time getting to where they were going, the slow build, you know. And I think that's really exciting, and that's actually not an easy thing to do, and they really had that about them. And so, so we recorded that at Matt Verderay's studio, and it was a really good collaboration. And I got Sally Norvell to sing on it. Someone should look that album up. They made their record, and then they broke up, like many young bands do. But they kind of reconfigured with the core musical people. Really what they did was the guitar player, not unlike Kid Congo, stepped up to the microphone and became the singer. And then they became a band called Kala, who I think are really, really a great band. All really great musicians and great guys. And it's really been exciting to me to see them go from these really young pups who didn't know what was going on to really taking shape and making something really beautiful. Yeah, and me and Aurelio have always planned to make Aurelio the guitar player. We really want to work together and make, we've had this plan to make kind of Pharoah Sanders or Ornette Coleman sort of inspired guitar album, instrumental album. But, you know, we're such lazy Mexicans that we never, ever get it together to do it. I think we're also so very busy all the time. One day we will. If we can ever get out of from under our sombrero, we will do it. There's the band The Makeup from D.C. with Ian Svenonius and Michelle May. And their band I met in Washington, D.C., I think maybe when Congo Norvell were playing, became friends with them. And Actually, I really thought that they were amazing. I saw actually very early incarnation of them. They were playing with Congo Narvel, and it was I think just an organ, a guitar. No, it was on organ, drums, and Ian. Maybe the organ player could play guitar in a few songs, James. And I really thought it was great. Whatever it was great. And I thought he was just amazing. So in the makeup, later on, the makeup became a full-on band and made records. And I would see them every time they came to New York. And I became friends with them and would hang out with them a lot and go to DC and visit them. And they're a very touring type of band. And they were going on a tour. And I was like, well, why don't I go on tour with you? Like, I'll be your like driver or anything. I think I just wanted to get out of town and hang out with them, and I just thought their live show was so great. And I think I just needed something. I think this was after like the demise of Congo Narvel, then after Jeffrey dying and moving to New York. I just needed to go away and do something that wasn't any pressure for me. So I would get on and play maracas and the triangle, excuse me, with them. And again, like my collaboration with them was almost only strictly friendship. I just felt like they were one of the most exciting things going on live. I really appreciate them, and I appreciate them, their new band, Weird War. And Ian is the kind of singer that you don't see all the time, and really entertaining and really smart, really great, and a fully formed conceptualist. My job is to be around exciting things and be inspired by things, and they were something that was really inspiring to me, and that's how I ended up hanging out with them. Fish was in Congo Narvel for quite a few years, and also played with my band, the Pink Monkey Birds, in one of the first incarnations. And so he's been a longtime collaborator. So, but he's always had his own band, Botanica. It was, again, another trade. He'd worked so long for no money for me. And he asked me if I'd play on his record and play live with them. So I'm a musician. So I said I would do it. And that was good. And I really dug that because they were really good musicians. And also, Abby Travis was playing with them. And she was someone I really, really got along with really well, and I really learned to really admire her, and found out a bunch about a ton of stuff she had done. And she's a fierce bass player, really amazing, really fun girl. And so we just had fun. That's again, it's another project. And also the thing that came out of playing with Botanica and Congo Narvel and that whole melee of activity. Really, before the Pink Monkey Birds decided to be a band, I was just going to make a strict solo album with a bunch of different people. And so the first things I did was some stuff with Jim Sclavounos producing, and that was some tracks with Paul Wellfish and Abby Travis from Botanica. And they had some tracks, and I had some lyrics, and we recorded them in Los Angeles. And they became kind of this whole project. It got bogged down somehow, things come and go. But I really love this one, like these two songs, Power and You Hang the Moon for Me, which are going to come out on my Solo Cholo compilation. That was the only place I could find for them because No More was recorded at the time. And they're like two tracks that are very kind of like in between the Pink Monkey Birds and Congo Narvel, atmospheric sort of songs. Some of my really great lyrics I wrote at the time. And so, they got kind of put on the shelf for a long time until I realized that I had so much stuff on the shelf that I could actually make a record, and so much like unknown stuff. And so I started compiling that Solo Cholo record as far back as 2000. I started thinking about compiling a bunch of stuff that I'd written together, and from then on, I started really doing a lot more songwriting. Another project in my transition period was that Michael Girard asked me to play with him in his group, the Angels of Light. He actually asked me to record with him on a track or two, and I had known Michael since the Swans, since when I was in the Bad Seeds, and we both had actually come from Los Angeles and had that in common. I was a great admirer of Swans and his stuff, and I really liked his new stuff, so I was really pleased when he asked me to play with him. He put together a live show with about a 10-piece band, which was really quite insane, but really great, to be a part of that, playing with that many people. We had like dulcimer, we had tablas, we had ukuleles with singers. It was really a really great project, this Angels of Light, one of the first ones. Michael is great. And he's asked me to play on a couple more of his records, I think. At least one other one. Yeah, to this day, I'm friends with him. I hope I get to do more with him.